In the 1950s or even the early 60s, if you were growing up and learning your world history, you might have caught this British-produced Pathé newsreel, either in class or at the movies. There were American versions of this gripping story as well, a true story of a Cold War victory in the Middle East, Iran. First authentic riot pictures, the headline blazed.
Further pictures from Tehran show rioters in action as anti-royalist partisans, supporters of the aged Dr. Mossadegh, set about their work of destruction. Target on which much bitter feeling was focused was the statue of the Shah's father. The fall of the statue looks like being a symbol of victory for the supporters of Mossadegh. Royalists, in the most literal sense of the word, were in for a rough time. Victory was short-lived, for by a dramatic turn in events, the royalists staged a coup d'etat under General Zahedi. The people showed their preference in no uncertain manner, and after 9 hours of bloodshed, the forces of the Shah were in command, and Mossadegh's reign as virtual dictator of Iran had ended. Once again, the thoughts of the populace turned towards their sovereign as they waited for his return.
Gripping stuff. The progressive pro-Western Shah of Iran defeats forces of the dictator Mohammad Mossadegh. The Shah, our powerful friend in the Middle East, along with Israel and Saudi Arabia. The problem here is that this newsreel is more fictional than a movie by Ben Affleck. The dramatic turn of events described there was a CIA-engineered coup that took down the elected Mossadegh and restored the unelected Shah. That CIA coup has been well known for decades. It became one of the reasons the U.S. was called the Great Satan by Iranian leaders after the Iranian Revolution brought Ayatollah Khomeini to power. The CIA has never acknowledged its role, though, but recently, declassified CIA documents constitute an official admission that the CIA was behind that 1953 Iranian coup. Malcolm Byrne, director of the National Security Archive at George Washington University, joins us. Malcolm, welcome.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
We've known this for a long time, yes, and how have we known it, and what do you think the significance of this admission seems to be?
Well, we've known it from, you know, more or less day one, depending on what sources you want to trust. The very day after the coup, there was a report from Moscow that the U.S. was behind the coup. Now, Moscow, not exactly your most trusted source necessarily, but within a year of the coup, a much better source, if you will, none other than the Saturday Evening Post, the old magazine, ran a story with a lot of detail about the coup that could only have come from CIA sources. So it's been in the public domain for almost 60 years. And over the subsequent years, we had a number of memoirs written by spies who helped organize the thing, tons of articles, interviews by scholars with these guys, and they've been very candid about what they did. So it's a little bit of, you know, taking credit on the one hand by CIA people and denying the whole thing on the other hand.
You heard that newsreel, right?
It was terrific. I mean, I don't know where you found it. That was great.
Well, it's on YouTube now. You can find these sorts of things. There's all kinds of versions, American versions, British versions. I mean, millions of Americans heard that story and thought it was absolutely the truth.
Yeah. Well, they had been fed these accounts of Mossadegh. I mean, he was Time magazine's man of the year after nationalizing the oil industry in Iran. But that's not a good thing. You know, Ayatollah Khomeini was man of the year also several decades later. The portrait of Mossadegh in the American media and the Western media was grotesque. I mean, they just, as you could tell from some of the descriptions in that newsreel. And this was something that the CIA carried to extremes inside Iran. Part of their plan to dislodge him was to undermine him politically by planting all kinds of nasty propaganda, saying all kinds of things like, you know, he was against the religion, he was in favor of the communists, he was homosexual, he was Jewish, you know, whatever they could pull together to try to make him look bad. Some of those materials are in this release that are on our website.
And one of the ironies is that the Shah of Iran actually did some of the same nationalization of the oil industry that Mossadegh was accused of doing for being a communist. When it was time for the Shah to go, the opposition to the Shah used many of the same tactics they learned from the CIA in the 50s with their accusations.
Sure. Well, it's tried and true stuff. You know, the CIA didn't invent it. But they sure worked hard at it in this case. And one of the things that's interesting is how many continuities there are in modern Iranian history if you just change the names of the players a little bit. So even if you come to the very modern, you know, present day, you know that the big issue is Iran's alleged attempt to acquire a nuclear bomb and to develop its nuclear program. Well, guess who started it? The Shah.
Mm.
And back then, the U.S. wasn't thrilled about it, but they didn't block it. You know, all kinds of things have happened that one side has taken over from the other side.
Malcolm, I want to play you this clip from President Obama speaking in Cairo in June of 2009. Listen.
In the middle of the Cold War, the United States played a role in the overthrow of a democratically elected Iranian government. Since the Islamic Revolution, Iran has played a role in acts of hostage taking and violence against U.S. troops and civilians. This history is well known.
But if you had gone to Washington and wanted to know more about the role in the overthrow of a democratically elected Iranian government, you'd have been told, get out of here, that's top secret.
Yeah,
until today.
They would have said, we can't confirm or deny it, which in fact the British have just said again yesterday. There was a British account based on these documents, and they went and they asked for comment from the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, and the reply was, sorry, we can't say one thing or the other about it. They're still trying to protect their role.
The Cold War takes a long time to thaw, that's for sure. Malcolm Byrne, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Malcolm Byrne is the Deputy Director of the National Security Archive, talking about the final admission in declassified documents that the CIA was behind the 1953 coup that brought down Mohammad Mossadegh in Iran. Later this hour, we're talking about the taco takeover. We asked you what kind of tacos you indulge in.
My name is Sarah Bosch. I'm calling from Springfield, Oregon, and I'd like to tell you about my favorite taco topping. It's the Salvadorian kind of coleslaw called cortito, and it's like pickled cabbage and oregano and onions, and it tastes amazing on absolutely everything. The first time I tried it, I worked at a factory with a lot of folks from Latin America, and I had it on this amazing little thing called a pupusa.
Oh, you can get those in Red Hook from the food trucks. Come on over, Sarah. Come on over to Brooklyn. From Fort Wayne, Indiana, I had a taco bar at my wedding reception 2 days ago. A huge hit. Even the stuffy family members enjoyed them. I'm sure they did. Call us at 877-8MYTAKE to weigh in and find us at facebook.com/thetakeaway.